Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Cali, and it is time for another installation of Volume 6 and also another coverage of a film from Fantasia Fest 2025, Chow. Chow is an animated feature from Studio 4C, their first one in 4 years, following Fortune Favors Lady Nikuko. They also did Children of the Sea and Masaki Yuasa's Mind Game. And Chow has a very special place in my heart already because it is another take on the Little Mermaid story from Hans Christian Andersen. And I love that. I really do. I think that it is a very malleable story, and when creators find ways to make that story their own, it does wonders if executed correctly. And I really don't have any major misgivings about Chow, so it's very high up there for me in terms of ways that the Little Mermaid story could be told. And Chow, specifically, the way that it starts is actually really cool because it starts with this journalist who he misses this ship that was supposed to lead him to his next big scoop, and that ends up leading him to our main protagonist, Stefan. And Stefan is like, oh, you missed your boat. You know, too bad, so sad. And this journalist sneaks onto his ship because he's like, wait, you're Stefan. You're the guy who bridged the gap between merfolk and humans, right? Stefan's just like, you got the wrong guy. And then he ends up telling him the story of how he did just that. And it all happened because he was an office worker at a shipbuilding company, and he had this dream of making ships that did not use propellers, because propellers have proven to be harmful to marine life. And he has an alternative called the airjet that would allow marine life to pass by with minimal, if any, harm at all. And his opportunistic as hell manager is just like, oh man, that's crazy. You like that ship over there? You want to get a closer look at it? And he ends up swabbing the deck. Well, while that's happening, this incident occurs and he ends up getting saved by this giant goldfish. And he wakes up in the hospital. And it turns out the goldfish isn't a goldfish. She's the princess of the mermaid kingdom. And her name is Chow. Chow has other names that actually hold major relevance. One of them. But we'll just call her Chow. So she's in the hospital room. And she's telling Stefan, I want to be with you forever. And a bunch of reporters come in. And she's like, I want to be with him forever. And they're like, does that mean you're going to marry him? And she's like, well, if marrying him means that I get to stay with him forever, then yeah, I'll marry him. And it's seen as this huge win for humanity and merfolk because it bridges the gap between the two cultures. And this all happens probably within the first 10 minutes. So it establishes itself very quickly because by probably 15, 20 minutes in, they're already married and living their life together. And the entire time, Stefan is just like, who is this woman? And this is what I would say is probably a minimal misgiving. And I can't 100% say that I believe it from my personal self, but I could see how other people could perceive it. A lot of people, I feel, could say that this beginning, really the first half of the movie, could feel very rushed. The progression happens at a very rapid pace, and it's definitely one of those hold on to your hat moments. But as I'm watching it, and again, this is because I am just such a huge fan of mermaid stories and stories that pertain to the Little Mermaid, that I just find it to be fast paced. And part of what makes it that way is the exploration that takes place of Stephen and Chow's relationship. I interchange Stefan and Stephen because of how they're spelled. My apologies. But also, the world that they live in, this alternate version of Shanghai, is always moving, always bustling. And the movie is slightly juvenile and extremely heartfelt, but that means that you are getting a lot of jokes, some of which are a bit on the silly side, others are just really funny. It's very charming, but you have to look at everything that is happening, and sometimes that can be a mile, a minute. And when you're trying to establish something as pronounced as the world of Chow and this story of these two potential lovers alongside Stephen trying to make his dream come true, you have this kind of, it can be tough. I completely understand that it could be tough. I'm just 100% clocked in on mermaid stories, but that is not normal, I don't think, because if it was another type of movie and it wasn't one that I was just so fascinated by the visuals and so keyed in on the audio and the subtitles because I'm locked in on the visuals, I 100% feel like I would have missed a lot of crucial details. Because what this film does in its breakneck speed is, while it's establishing things, while it's progressing Stefan and Chow's relationship, it's also setting up for a lot of payoffs. Because when I gave my discussion, my review on Soy Frankelda, I felt that there was way too much going on to try and establish the film, and I'm just like, get on with it. Chow just gets on with it, and it's story within a story that is happening with older Stephen telling the story of younger Stephen and Chow, and this whole hanging over the head of, well, did they stay together after the unification of people and mermaids? It is a very, it's just loaded. Like, the film is just loaded. And there are just so many things that you kind of catch glimpses of, like what I said about the name having more importance than we think. There are certain visual cues, certain choreographies that are mimicked or called back to, things that hold specific relevance that make things that happen in the present being the story that older Stephen is telling, make a heck of a lot more sense. Because a lot of these one-offs, like these one-off comments or these specific visual gags, like one being when, and this is actually very essential, one is that when a mermaid is not in water, they look like a fish. And that can be remedied one of two ways to give them like that mermaid look. They can either be submerged in water or be with someone who they really care about, like someone who they trust and feel comfortable with. And this is kind of played up for laughs until you get to a certain point in the movie where you wonder, she has been a goldfish for a very long time. What is that about? What would cause this metamorphosis, and what is it that will move Steven's heart and also move his ego? And I like so much that a majority of this movie is dedicated to the hardships, the clumsiness, and the joy, honestly, of them finding their footing as a couple. And it kind of reminds me of Urusei Yatsura in a way, because there's this misunderstanding between Ataru and Lum, which causes Lum to fall in love with Ataru. And like on that surface level, it's very similar, but Chao goes far deeper into that. And when these visuals are explored a little bit more, like when Chao is not turning into a mermaid, there is a point in the film where the question is asked, Steven, what do you feel for this girl? And Steven really has to think about that, because when they say fish out of water story, that is quite literally what this is. He knows how hard Chao has been trying throughout the duration of this movie to become part of the human realm. She's learning how to cook. She's learning how to clean, not because she wants to be this human, living this human existence, and because she wants to be subservient or anything of the sort. Chao is trying to integrate herself into humanity and be a part of Stephen's life and help him in ways that are meaningful to him. And you get the feeling because of something that happens earlier on. Again, a one-off, a joke. A joke holds a lot of relevance come the halfway mark of the movie, because of something that Steven says that at first you think, oh, she's just overreacting, you know, like this is just funny and it means nothing. It means everything. And that is what is so clever about this movie. Even though it moves fast, every single thing has relevance. And I am enamored with a film that can do that and can do it in a short time period, because Chow is only 90 minutes long. It's only 90 minutes long. And in that 90 minutes, it effectively explores romance, it explores ego, it explores childhood trauma, and what it means to love someone, like to really love someone, because there comes a point where you may be so far out of your element, you're doing everything that you feel you can do for your partner, but maybe you're not fully integrated and you don't fully understand, no matter how hard you try at first, this new way of life. And there maybe a worry that comes from that. Like, I like how believable their relationship is, because beyond just him being like, I'm kind of embarrassed to be seen with a fish, but also like, I love this fish, I feel like she's got my heart, but I'm still trying to get over the whole fish thing, but I see how hard she's trying. There is a concern for a child's well-being that he carries, and you kind of see it implied. You see it in his actions. You see it in some of the offhanded remarks that he makes. Not offhanded in a disrespectful way, but I guess you could more so say that they're one-off comments. You can tell that he's worried, and that worry does translate in several different ways. It manifests in several different ways, and it just crescendos us to a greater understanding of these two characters as individuals and as a couple. So when they say that this is a romantic comedy, it really is both of those. I also have to say that the conversation that I had with my good friend Douglas, founder and head writer of Elements of Madness, you should be following him because he knows so much about film, so much about home media. He's incredible. He said something. He said that the visual metaphors don't miss in this movie. And he is so right. And I was trying to find the words for what I was experiencing, and he put it perfectly to me. So when we talk about having to look so deeply at Chow and having to pay close attention to the film for all 90 of its minutes because everything holds relevance, there are one-off scenes before we get certain payoffs where we're like, huh, what exactly does this mean? Only to encounter gracefully the fact that the film is trying to portray to us. I know that you wanted this to be a review and it's turning into a deconstruction. Just bear with me. I love this film. There is this vivid showing of how beautiful trust, compassion, empathy, and connecting makes a person, makes a duo, because it is only through trust and understanding and, loving your fellow person and, loving your partner, being able to trust and be comfortable with that person, that both your inner and outer beauty can not only sustain itself, but shine. And I love how Chow portrays this. Let's not beat around the bush anymore. Let me tell you that aside from how incredible Shanghai looks, how lived in, how equal parts elegant and like somewhere that I would live, very commonplace, they somehow managed to make it look futuristic but also modern, which this is a 20XX film, I believe, so we can expect that it happens sometime in our lifetime. This is a pure treat if you love not just animation, but art. And when I say that, because it may sound confusing, you might think, well, animation is art. It very much is. But you can appreciate movement, you can appreciate the fluidity of movement, the rigidness of movement, movement being what it needs to be, that part of animation, but you may not notice or appreciate the backdrop. And Chow in Studio 4C said, you are going to appreciate every single backdrop that we have, everything that we have about buildings, about streetways, about ship towns. Everything is going to catch your eye, which makes it, again, for people who aren't invested in Little Mermaid stories, it makes it hard to keep up, because this is such a rich film when it comes to visuals. And I mean, it helps that the animation itself is absolutely beautiful. Like running water, you don't really take notice of certain things in your everyday life until you have seen them done gloriously elsewhere. And running water through a fountain, I've seen it in daily life and I never paid much attention to it. But this film, Chow, makes me really appreciate how pretty water is. Water is a way to describe or portray beauty, which I think is why these mermaid stories work so well on multiple levels. These stories contain multitudes of layers and how it makes just such a fun and enriching time, a time that you halfway don't want to end, but you also might, because it's a lot in that 90 minutes and you will probably be tired from being so excited about everything that you are watching, everything that you're seeing. And I read this in a review and I thought it was actually very funny, because there are a lot of people in the film who are drawn to various different degrees, that no two people look the same. And I love that. I love that they decided to put that much detail into each of their characters. The background characters don't look the same, but I can say that a lot of them are ugly as hell, and they have the audacity to be like, you're walking around with a fish, only for an actual mermaid, like the mer people, to be the actual beautiful ones. That is by far the funniest thing, that they are actually the ugly ones. But at the same time, they're great character designs, because they are distinct, and a lot of them can tell us, whether it be the way that they dress, whether it be a visual indicator like a big head and a smug smile that is stuck on someone's face, they tell us what we need to know about these characters. And I always appreciate that. And when it's a dead on ringer, you know, when it actually ends up being that, you get a real sense of pride, like, oh, I am smart, like I really got that down pat. And this film does not disappoint. It lets you know right off gate, this is a very, very, I find the messages to be deep, partially because, you know, I want to be a house husband. So I think that Chow is awesome. But this is a very, very silly movie that has a lot of emotional beats that just hit really hard, but they don't break you. This movie warms my heart and also has some killer music. I will tell you right now, I finished the movie last night, and from this morning when I went to work all the way to the shower that I took before I sat down to record, Kumi Koda's Chow, which is the ending theme of the movie, has been playing consistently. I am in love with that, but I'm also in love with the background music. Everything about this film just inspires hope and happiness, and a belief that togetherness is attainable one way or another. And it really does just make you appreciate good storytelling, because I cannot get over how awesome they were able to tie everything together. Some of the film's most beautiful moments, where the animation really pops, whether it be a fight or a dance, it all ties back to something else. And that story within a story just makes everything even better, because the entire time you're wondering, I wonder how this actually ends, because we have the ending and then we have the ending, and having those back to back, I was like kind of nervous, but it was a good nervous. And Chow just makes me feel a lot of positive things. It's beautiful to look at. It has beautiful visual symbolism. The story itself is just very sweet, and I cannot help but recommend it. And I sound like a broken record, I'm sure that I have throughout this episode, but these are just the things that keep popping in my head as I am talking and as I am getting excited all over again about a movie that I would say has brought me a lot of I didn't sleep much last night, because I was beaming with happiness. I was on a euphoric kick from this movie. After that, I went ahead and I just booted up Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and I collected all 7 Chaos Emeralds before going to bed. I woke up this morning, I probably had like 4 hours of sleep, and thinking about this movie and talking about it with my coworkers, talking about the funny jokes about how wonderful this story is, and just how happy it made me, how beautiful it sounds. They were like, wow, you know, we can tell that you're very sleepy, but you are in a really good mood, and we love that. And it's rare that a movie, especially a newer movie, sticks with me in such a way. But like I said at the beginning, and I will always say, and I'm going to make a video on this for the On a Whim YouTube channel, so just be prepared for that. The Little Mermaid is a very versatile story, very malleable. So we see instances where the story is cute, like Lou Over the Wall and Ponyo. I would say that this one is cute, but it's more pretty, and despite its outlandish setting, I would say that it's still relatively grounded in its message. Of course, we have the Toei animation one from the, I believe, 70s or 80s, And we have The Little Mermaid from Disney, but then we also have movies like 2017's The Lure from, I believe that one's Polish. You take these liberties with any story that you are given. And we see this all the time. We see this with how people are using the public domain of Steamboat Willie. We see it how people are using the public domain for Winnie the Pooh. There are a lot of different ways that you can go with, in those cases, characters, but you can apply that to stories, because I've seen more takes on The Little Mermaid than any other story, and that includes stories from the Brothers Grimm. And I think that's very telling, because I think that that means that it's a compelling story, and I think it's one that people can really find themselves a narrative hook in to make it their own. And Chow is just an amazing example and a great entry in the series of films that bring me to the mindset of The Little Mermaid, that feel very Little Mermaid inspired. And I just, in case you couldn't tell, I am going to say right now, when Chow arrives in the theaters, watch it. You need to see this on the biggest screen possible so that you can just take in every wonderful thing that this film has to offer. And that's it. My tirade is over. I really appreciate you guys listening to this all the way through if you have, because I love it when movies, when media in general, make me happy. So thank you. And with all that being said, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at The Whim Home. If you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, which this episode is on, then the YouTube channel is called On a Whim. If you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider joining the Discord server or subscribing to the Patreon. With the Patreon, if you're a free member, you get episodes a week before the general public. That is both YouTube channel episodes and podcast episodes. And if you're a paid member, you get an additional episode / video, whatever ends up happening, every month. And that is for the cost at minimum of $1. Again, and this is the last broken record that you're going to hear from me on this very messy, very silly episode. But thank you so much for listening. And with that, I am out.